Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with Wilbert Roget II. And Will, I'm really looking forward to diving in and talking with you about your soundtrack for Call of Duty World War II. It's just phenomenal. So thanks so much for taking some time to talk about it.
Oh, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I'm so curious about how you got chosen to write the score. And then, kind of a double question, I guess, what was it about the project that made you want to pitch for it, that made you want to do it?
I'm also kind of a pretty avid gamer, and I had just played Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, and I just loved it. I mean, I loved the story. I loved how they'd improved with the sound design and the mixing for the new console generation. And so, yeah, you know, pretty much right after I played that, I found, you know, connection from connection, and eventually found my way to the audio director, Dave Swenson. And I shot him an email and said, hey, you know, I'd love to meet up at GDC. I don't know what you guys are working on, but I would love to collaborate. And it turned out that he had played the Lara Croft game, Lara Croft and the Temple of Osiris, which I had also done the score for. And so he was interested in talking to me anyway. So yeah, we met up at GDC and we had a great conversation. Actually, it's kind of interesting. We mostly talked about music implementation and mixing more so than style. What's funny is that they weren't really a lot, because I wasn't under NDA yet, they weren't able to tell me that it was a World War II game until much, much later. And I'm almost kind of glad that they didn't, because then I would have just geeked out way too much and they're like, what? Oh, gosh. But yeah, you know, we had a great conversation about, you know, all that mixing and implementation and stuff. And after several months of emails and back and forth and a couple Skype meetings and whatnot, eventually I was hired, I think in sometime in November. And I didn't get to actually start writing the score until January, but that was around the time when they first told me, hey, you know, by the way, not only is this a World War II game, which is one of my career aspirations, you know, ever since the original Call of Duty came out when I was in like college, but also they were going to work with the Sony PlayStation music team. And I've been a huge fan of those guys' work for, you know, for like a decade. They're incredible at music implementation and editing, and they did the mix for this score as well. So it was kind of like three different seemingly impossible career goals all attained at once. So yeah, needless to say, I was pretty ecstatic about that.
Yeah, I can imagine. So we're just talking like from this past January, right? You got all this music done in less than a year?
Oh yeah. Well, actually it was more like, I would say the end of January is when I had our first meeting where I got to really see the game. I flew down to Sledgehammer and to Sony PlayStation to meet with the team and get all of the narrative presentations and whatnot. And so I began writing in early February, and the final orchestral session was actually in late July. So it's almost more like 6 months that I had to work on this one.
Wow, that just seems like an incredibly short amount of time to put together a score like this. So what did you do to kind of get the ball rolling? I mean, what were like the musical discussions that you had with the devs at Sledgehammer and with Sony?
So it's kind of funny. I think part of the reason why, you know, we were able to get it all together in just the 6 months is that as soon as I heard it was going to be a World War II game, you know, I wasn't hired yet. I wouldn't be hired for another couple of months. But immediately I'm furiously sketching almost every single day, just random ideas for like, well, what if the game is maybe like this? And then I'll write something like this. Or maybe if it's this kind of story and writing that. And I did a ton of research, tons of movies I was watching, not just World War II movies, but also modern films that, you know, maybe they weren't talking about World War II, but it was still kind of a military situation. And I just wanted to get into that vibe and that mindset again. And so that's kind of how I had this large body of work to draw from, and almost 99% of that has nothing to do with what we actually see in the game. But there's something to be said about, and this is going to sound silly, but there's something to be said about just getting all of your bad ideas out of the way so that you can then see what doesn't work, and then you just have a better base to start from. But our first meeting at Sledgehammer, we talked a lot about the tone of the game. We talked a lot about just how much more personal and kind of darker and grittier that the story would go, much more defined and less kind of big and epic, like you might expect from a Call of Duty game.
Yeah.
It is more about the personal story of your platoon. And after that, we had more conversations about the mix and the implementation with the Sony team, because we wanted to make sure that everything about the music would just fit with the sound design instead of competing with it. There was such an emphasis on brand new original recordings of the weaponry and the vehicles and everything in the game regarding to sound design. And I really didn't want to compete against that with music, but I wanted music to kind of complement it. So kind of from the beginning, we were brainstorming about, you know, how would we accomplish this? How would we arrange the soundtrack in such a way that it would fit with the sound design instead of, you know, being a competitor.
Yeah, and it's just amazing because as you're going through the levels and on these missions, there are times when I kind of didn't know if it was music or environmental sound. It's just so seamless. You guys really did an amazing job with the music being very subtle and yet indispensable because it just adds so much to the sound.
Thank you. Yeah.
I was really intrigued about the idea that you incorporated some actual World War II sounds, like artillery and tanks, and it almost sounds like there's an air raid siren in the Q Tiger Hunt. I don't know if that's true or not, but it sounded like an air raid siren to me. But how did you go about getting those original sounds, and then what was like the mixing process like?
That's a great question. So there were two kind of principles that I had with this score in terms of signature sounds. Our senior music supervisor was John Mayer over at Sony, and he advised that we really need to have the score as a whole be very consistent, and it always has to sound like this is our game. It always has to have this clear identity. And so he suggested that I work out certain signature sounds and almost use them as well as our melodies as much as possible. And so what I ended up doing was creating two sound principles. The first principle was the idea of the haze of war, mm-hmm. quote unquote, which is kind of what you're talking about here. And that's things like those air raid type sounds and all of the artillery and tanks and vehicle sounds and steam engine sounds and whatnot that I've put several kind of effects on and use them within the orchestra, almost like a second layer of content.
Wow. So
once I had this vague idea for getting, you know, removing some of the typical orchestral percussion, you know, there's really not much in the way of cymbals, or there's no mallets at all and no snare drums. But instead, I asked the Sledgehammer audio director, Dave Swenson, to send me, you know, anything that he had as far as like, you know, any kind of tank sounds, steam train sounds, anything like that. Well, he ended up sending me about 10 gigabytes of sound files. He was just like, here you go, knock yourself out. So I did a lot of searching through that to see what could work, you know, what really spoke to me. And yeah, you know, I did a lot of processing to it, a lot of filtering. There's lots of reverb and delay. And I ended up using that as a replacement for what you would normally use, cymbal swells or like cymbal hits or even some rhythmic stuff. So one of the things that I did to get percussive sound, since again, I took out the orchestral percussion, you know, part for uniqueness and part so that we weren't competing with sound design, mm-hmm. I really didn't want to have the big, epic, lush, drama-filled orchestration. And that's kind of how I started out with a lot of those sketches. You know, it was a lot closer to the Michael Giacchino sound of the original Call of Duty with, like, you know, very elaborate orchestration. And then I eventually realized that, you know, at no point, and this is kind of crazy, at no point did our music team or the Sledgehammer team or whatever, nobody ever used the word epic. Nobody ever used the word, you know, badass. Like, you always, like in every game, that's like the two most overused terms that, you know, don't really mean anything. They didn't say that. Instead, they wanted this much more personal and much more severe kind of sound. You know, in the very first mission of the game, it just speaks to how incredibly well written and how great the acting was. Your character, Daniels, is trying to operate the Bangalore to, mm-hmm. you know, break through the barracks. And he misses. Like, he's so freaked out by all of the chaos around him that he can't even function. And you can hear in his voice and his just mutterings and his vocalizations that, you know, he's just really struggling. And I've never seen that in a video game before, let alone a Call of Duty game, where usually you're like some kind of a super soldier who's just so amazing at, you know, everything. That really spoke to me. So instead of going off of, you know, other war scores or whatever, I was actually much more influenced by certain pieces of 20th century art music. I think that one of the pieces that I drew the most inspiration from was a piece called Zipangu by Claude Vivier. It uses a lot of the same kind of extended techniques that I do on strings. Things like the overpressure technique that I use to get a lot of that grit, where you're actually bowing the violin or cello or whatever. You're bowing it like slightly too slow and like with too much pressure, so it can gradually go from having a pitch to just sounding like radio static noise.
Wow.
I also listened to a lot of course, Penderecki, Threnody for the Victims of Hiroshima. That's such an iconic, you know, 20th century piece. And also Toru Takemitsu, Requiem for String Orchestra.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And these were sort of my, like, as far as 20th century pieces, these were definitely my biggest influences.
Thank you.
The other concept that I mentioned earlier, or I briefly touched on, we have the haze of war, which is, you know, all of that musique complète, all of the different pieces of period vehicles and whatnot. But the other idea I had was called the memory of war. And this was a signature sound that's characterized by a lot of brass instruments playing these little, you know, perfect fifth fanfares, but like completely out of time. It's just like a blurred, it's like a blur of horns with a lot of effects put on it. And the idea behind that was that a big component of the story is the main character, Daniels, trying to live up to his brother, his older brother,
yeah,
who had already fought in the war. And just this idea of like, here's this idyllic, like distant past memory of what war was like, as opposed to like the reality of war, which is, you know, like in the very first, and this is kind of the trick that I pulled on the main theme. It starts with that memory of war idea. It starts with those perfect fifth horns and trumpets, you know, playing this blur of fanfare is almost like a pad. And then it like gradually brings in these dissonances that just swell up and just get just nasty. And then it hits you with the Allies theme. And it's now like, okay, this whole, you know, idyllic view of, oh yes, war is this going to be this amazing, brave, awesome, you know, we're going to be so, no, not at all. It's going to be hell. It's going to be brutal. And it's going to have this realistic grit to it that hopefully I'm getting with the rest of the score. That concept actually came from two sources. I obviously, you know, drew some inspiration from Jerry Goldsmith's Patton score, where he has the trumpets with delay. But more so, it was actually Ennio Morricone's score to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Really?
Yeah, there is a cue called The Carriage of Spirits, where it's this gorgeous melody with very somber background strings and trumpet playing the melody. But during the course of the piece, there's all of these random arrhythmic fanfares that have, like, rhythmically they have nothing whatsoever to do with the actual piece, and they just kind of barely fit harmonically. If you go take a listen to that, you'll see what I mean. But I loved the idea of just the two-layered piece of music, where it's like one layer is just existing out of time, and it's like a memory of something, and then you have the reality in front of you. And so I took that idea, and then I kind of expanded it to be more of like a very closely intentional signature sound. And of course, you know, all of the different effects that I was putting onto it. But yeah, that's kind of how I got that that concept. And the idea was, I wanted to match the art direction a little bit. Like, if you look at this game and then you compare it with any of the other Call of Duties, it has this sort of filmic quality to it. It's almost like it's got some filtering, like color filtering.
Yeah.
And it's got this sort of bluish haze. And so I use these effects as well as other kind of air raid type sounds, almost in a synesthetic sort of way, to kind of match that. So I had things like slow trombone flutter droops run through a bunch of effects and such to also get that kind of air raid type sound. I used an electric guitar that I would play with an e-bow and a brass slide, and I would just kind of slide around, and again, tons of delay and whatnot. There was a lot of synthesizer sounds as well that gave that similar air raid type sound. And this was all just to, again, give the Haze of War sort of signature to this whole second layer of content within the mix.
It's brilliant, because you would miss it if it wasn't there. And yet, as you're dodging around, trying to find cover, trying not to get shot at and stuff, it really adds a lot. And the tension level is just... I had to stop playing because it was just too much. And especially, I noticed it in the strings, and you're writing for strings. That's where it seemed to be the most, like, heart-pounding and tense.
One of the principles that we had right from the get-go was that, again, we're not looking for a gigantic kind of epic sound, but instead, this is a very personal story, and we want it to be very dark and very gritty. So one of the things I did was I wrote a lot of string quartet and solo strings in the action cues, which you wouldn't really expect that to happen in an action cue. Normally, if you're using a, you know, solo strings or quartet or whatever, it would be for emotional moments. But
yeah.
I use them to get very precise and driving rhythms in a lot of the action cues, especially cues like Marinier, where it kind of all the orchestra drops out and then it's just double basses and then just, you know, all of these solo strings just sawing away in the second half of the cue. We'll be right back. Yeah, I use that to get that kind of very real, very in-your-face kind of sound. And we actually mixed the score with that in mind as well. So there's not a lot of reverb in the mix. We didn't really add too much space, but instead we allowed it to be kind of just right up in your face and very almost kind of claustrophobic, but intentionally so, so that, you know, it felt like you were actually there. And I say this a lot, but I have this idea of writing in the first person versus writing in the third person. I would say that most of the time when you're scoring a game, you're kind of commenting on the action. You're saying, okay, this is what's happening. So, you know, we have this distant sort of commentary perspective for how the music is being composed. And I would call that a third person type of score. But for World War II, I just felt like, you know, this is such a personal story. You get to know every single one of your squad mates. You get to know them all by name. They all have a function that's unique to them within the game. So you're really engaging with them. It's like you're actually there. So I just thought that a first person perspective where I'm not sort of commenting on anything, but like I'm actually there, I'm actually experiencing it. I just thought that was much more appropriate for this. So that's why I had all of this very close mic, very tense kind of string writing and mixed direction.
Wow, it's really brilliant. I hadn't even picked up on that, but now that you're talking about it, it's true. It doesn't have that kind of wide open sound that a lot of game soundtracks have with space around it. And it especially works in, you know, the really tight quarters, like when you're clearing out bunkers and heading through tunnels and that kind of thing. So it was, that's a really brilliant choice. Wow. The thing that has also really struck me as I'm listening to the score and then, you know, hearing bits of it in the game too, is these two motifs that you use for the first time in A Brotherhood of Heroes. They kind of mirror each other. They're both just really only six notes. but you've worked them into every single cue in the soundtrack, and it's brilliant because it really grounds everything. And again, it just kind of reinforces that this is all part of the same picture and part of the same experience.
A lot of that came from our audio director. Dave basically said, look, we want to make sure that every single piece sounds like our game. So anything you can do to get that to happen, you know, just go for it. And so, yeah, you know, I worked in the melodies in different contexts as much as possible. All of the signature sounds like the Haze of War idea and the Memory of War idea. And I just tried to make it as cohesive as I possibly could. I mean, that main theme is kind of funny. Like it's in two parts. Like you're absolutely correct. It is a double theme. But the first part with the cello is the Allies theme. And that one is, you know, most of what I would use throughout the score, the da, 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 that whole thing. But the second part, you know, with the big horn melody, and it's just like kind of three notes that sort of descends in the scale degrees. That's what I would call the Call of Duty theme. Mm-hmm. And the idea was it was just this idea of like being a part of something bigger than yourself, and sacrifice. And that's just sort of what this franchise has always meant to me. And it was actually Glenn Schofield, who's the CEO of Sledgehammer. It was his suggestion to me personally, like, could you write something that isn't too overtly a World War II piece, but something that just kind of speaks to the emotion and the story and the human element of like everything that we're doing, not just limited to this one game, but something that could potentially work for like any Call of Duty game to just get that idea. That was his direction for like how we could succeed with this game, is to not be too focused on the World War II aspect, but to just think about like, well, why did they join up? And for that reason, that's kind of how I built that part of the piece. Like, you know, it starts with this horn call, and the accompaniment is actually just a solo violin initially, but then it kind of grows to a big full string section with all these big staccatos. And then it grows even more to these big, you know, soaring sustained strings. And it's just that idea of, you know, it just starts with one and then more will join the fight. That's just the affect, the emotion that I had when thinking about, like, well, you know, why are we doing these games? Like, what is the overall story of, like, everything that's going on in Call of Duty? You know, fun fact, I actually didn't even score the opening cinematic to the game. They edited that to the piece.
Wow.
I'd never actually even seen that before I played the retail game. But yeah, I wrote this main theme kind of in the abstract. And then they edited their opening cinematic to the music that I'd written. And that was, I thought that was pretty cool. And that was like the most flattering thing you can possibly ask for as a composer.
Oh, yeah. And it works absolutely. It's just amazing because that's one of the few times where you see the scope of what's about to happen with
absolutely.
Them storming the beaches at Normandy. And it's kind of the only moment really where you feel like you're going to be a hero, because then it very quickly becomes this grind to get up the beach and not die.
Oh yeah.
And help the other people in your platoon and all of that. So yeah, that was a brilliant choice. And it just kind of lays out where the score is going. It's like everything is right there.
Yeah. And that was a lot of how the Sony team works. They like to just sort of laser focus in on a main theme that has basically like a palette for everything that they want to happen in the score. And then we kind of refer back to that in order to figure out, well, how should action music work and how should ambient music and tension and whatnot.
The way soundtracks have evolved, not just for films, but also for games, is so fascinating. And even just 5 years ago, I think game soundtracks sounded a lot different than they do now. And I know in one of your interviews, you mentioned that you wanted to create a modern game soundtrack for this Call of Duty. And so what do you mean by a modern soundtrack?
I would define modern in a certain way. Modern to me right now means having a lot of focus, not really taking things for granted, but instead having a lot of nuance in how you're using, you know, any of the elements, be it orchestral or synthesized. There's not a lot of purity, but instead you're combining things, you're incorporating elements outside of that main focus. Like if you're working for orchestra, maybe you're incorporating synthesizer or sound design. And there's also a big push for being very concise with your ideas, very simple melodies, very easily recognizable. That's kind of how I would define the current era in terms of like film and video game scores. So for example, when I started that main theme, the melody actually for the cello part, the Allies theme, was very different. It was more ornate. If I remember correctly, it was something more like da 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 da. And you know, I turned that in, and the audio director and music supervisor, they both suggested, well, why don't you do that, have the exact same vibe, but, and this is a quote, with less syllables.
Huh.
And I just thought, okay, less syllables, what does that mean? And then eventually I realized, oh, okay, let's just have as few notes as possible for every single thing that I do in the score, everything thematic, everything that I want to kind of drive home, that I want people to take home with them, just as few notes as humanly possible, just always distilled down to its bare minimum. And that's how I came up with the ta 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 ba da, that whole thing. As far as the World War II aspect, again, it wasn't as much of a priority for us to sort of drill into people's heads like, hey, this is World War II, this is World War II, because they're playing the game. They can clearly see, you know, with all of the weaponry, with all of the field recordings, you know, it's clearly World War II. But what we needed to do with music was to kind of reinforce the personal aspect of it, to really just make sure that the story, like the actual story of the characters and the platoon and how everyone's interacting with each other, that was much more important than just the setting. So, I mean, while you probably couldn't use this score in a game that had a completely different setting, because again, of all the musique concrète techniques that I use with the period recordings and whatnot, I would still imagine that it has like a core that is pretty universal. It's not completely just a World War II score. Like, I don't think anyone would really ever say that this is like a pastiche or anything like that. But instead, it just sort of starts from that setting and then puts a modern spin on it in order to get that much more personal and gritty feel.
Wow. You know, I was part of your in the audience for your GDC session, the True Confessions session, where you talked about what a steep learning curve it was writing music for a scoring session for the orchestra to record. And it got me thinking, what is different about writing for a scoring session as opposed to just writing a concert piece?
I actually haven't written concert pieces in quite a while. That was sort of a life that I had adopted in college and a little bit after. But, you know, at my heart, I've always been more of a game composer. Mm-hmm. Like I started writing video game music in like my freshman year of high school.
Wow.
I've actually been writing video game music for longer than I've not been writing video game music, if you can think about that. So, what I would say is this, you know, when you're writing for games or film, there isn't terribly much point in writing difficult music for the sake of writing difficult music. I mean, you can challenge yourself as a composer, and that's perfectly fine as long as you have, you know, the time to work it out. But I mean, once the music is on the stands, now you have dozens of players and they're all on the clock and they're all sight reading. So everything has to be as clear and readable and easy to understand as possible. So that kind of changes how I would write. You know, there's some times where I would kind of avoid doing certain things that I know would just be a pain in order for them to play it and for them to get it right. So I just try to make sure that not only is it playable, but also that it's rewarding. I mean, players will actually perform better if they're rewarded with things like, you know, maybe like a nice melody or a spotlight moment for their section every once in a while, having very diverse and varied accompaniments that aren't just the same thing over and over again, the whole piece. Interesting 20th century techniques that actually work. They love doing that. And, you know, anything that you can do to keep every member of the orchestra engaged, that's very important with a piece of, you know, music for media. And that also helps with concert music as well, but it's even more crucial when you're just on the clock, you know, dozens of people in the hall, and you have to, you know, pay the studio, of course, and the engineers. Zero rehearsal, and you just have to keep things moving.
Yeah, well,
I would say that's kind of the biggest difference.
Yeah, it makes me think of Bolero, a friend of mine who's a French horn player, gets two notes through the whole thing. So, yeah, it sounds like your music is a lot more fun to play.
Yeah, you maybe don't want to do that.
No. You know, I'd love to talk specifically with you about a couple of the tracks that really struck me, because you mentioned how you really work out interesting instrumentation, and The Shadow Under the Mountain in particular just is so interesting. It gives me a chance to hear a combination of instruments that, well, you know, maybe Bartok put them together in strings, percussion, and celesta. But
yeah.
But it's so interesting with all these other things going on. So what were you going for with that cue?
I actually had two directions for this one. This is the sort of one of the zombies mode themes. And the two directions I had were, number one, they wanted something that sounded significantly different from the main game, but in some way kind of harkened back to it. And the other direction I had was, I don't want to spoil too much about the zombie story, but like there is an aspect of like, okay, we're growing these, you know, crazy monsters and whatnot. And so they wanted something that kind of had that disturbed toy maker type vibe to it.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of what I went off of for the whole disturbed toy maker thing. That's where I got the use of celesta and that sort of very, it's kind of rhythmic, but in sort of like a just unnatural type way. It's just unnaturally even and just feels unsettling that you just like, you know, no development, just ba 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 ba, just over and over and over. One of the funny things about it is that the melody that you're hearing on that bass wind instrument is actually a contrabass clarinet, which, by the way, is about 6.5 feet tall and used to be played standing up. It's so gigantic. But that melody is actually an inversion of the Allies theme. It's the Allies theme just upside down. Like the Allies theme, you would go, da, 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 da. But this one is, da, 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 da.
Wow.
So I just wanted to kind of have like a twist, like everything about the piece to just be sort of twisted and backwards and just as nasty and growly as possible.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. I mean, it kind of like jumped out of my headphones when I was listening to it.
Yeah, again, this is you know, part of the mix process, and our mix strategy was to have, you know, when you have everything sort of close mic'd and not a lot of reverb, you hear a lot of that clarity, and it's like you're actually there. You're not like, you know, safely watching from a distance, but you know, it's right up in your face.
Yeah.
And we just loved that. We loved that idea. You know, we recorded at Oceanway Studios in Nashville, and just an unbelievably great studio, great players. The hall has a great sound. And if you want, you can get that big, giant, epic sound. I mean, I'm pretty sure that Black Ops 3 was recorded there.
Some of Destiny, too.
And Destiny as well, yeah. And those are wonderful scores for that, you know, distant, epic, third-person type thing. But if you want, you can also record in a different orientation and, you know, mix in more of those close mics, and it sounds brilliant there as well. So that's how we were able to get this much more kind of close-up and personal type sound with it.
Yeah, and speaking of a close-up and personal sound, Berga was another one that just really got to me. And, you know, you've been hitting on the idea of individuals, and this piece in particular, I think, really, really highlights it.
Yeah, that piece is kind of an interesting one. I mentioned that I had written out a lot of, you know, paper sketches, you know, from even before the beginning. But one of the ideas that I just kept coming back to over and over was this principle of like a very slow triple meter arpeggio that is almost very static and like just doesn't change, and having that be the background. And then in the foreground, maybe the chords move a little bit, maybe there's a little bit of a melody or whatever, but like just this idea of a really slow arpeggio being the backbone of the piece. Somehow to me, that just solidified the idea of like, you know, we're being very respectful and we're painting this picture of quite literally the most horrifying thing that has ever happened in the history of humanity. And that's obviously, you know, a pretty tall order for a composer to, you know, to write a theme that talks about that. And I mean, again, you know, I was speaking with Glenn, our CEO, specifically about this piece, and he said, yeah, you know, we need to figure this out. This has to be something that really drives at home what we're going for in the entire game. And yeah, the way I wrote it was, I, you know, once I had all those sketches and whatnot, and once it came time to write this piece, and I figured out that this is going to sort of be the emotional centerpiece of the game, I literally just sat there for, what is it, like 3 minutes long or whatever?
Yeah.
And I just played that piano part. You know, it's just one note every measure, just the bum, bum, bum. And I just, you know, in one go. And it's funny because like there wasn't anything else. There was no melody. There wasn't even any like harmony or motion or anything. I just played that. And then afterwards I went back and I added some harmonies to it. And then finally I added the viola solo.
Thank you.
but it was just this very slow and kind of reverent process for how I built the queue. And it's incredibly simplistic. I found that the more kind of embellishment you put, the more it sounds like, oh, you're just being very composery, whereas this is not a composery moment. This is a very serious moment and a very horrific moment. And I just found that the less I wrote, the better it was. And so, yeah, I did that, and the team signed off on it. And it's funny, you know, we were recording again in Nashville, and we had our solo strings or string quartet session, and the violist, she, you know, she's playing this piece, and right as she was playing it, and we were all, you know, being just dead silent because she just plays with so much emotion. It's just incredibly brilliant. We had a visitor come in, and they were incredibly confused about, like, wait, I thought I was coming here for a Call of Duty soundtrack. What is this? Like, I would not have expected that. I think one of the ways that I've been so just unbelievably fortunate to work on this project is that it had the space for something like that. It had an opportunity to write a very kind of serious and emotionally pure piece like that.
It's very powerful, and I think it's because it is so simple, as opposed to some of the other really, really complicated cues that you wrote for, you know, the battle scenes and the cinematics and that kind of thing. So, yeah. It's really very powerful. You know, I'm curious about how the soundtracks evolve in the process of making a game, because this is something I hadn't really thought of until another composer pointed out that the music that you pitch to get the job sometimes ends up sounding completely different from the final result. And as you were working on this, did things evolve, or were your initial ideas pretty much, you know, spot on?
Like, after I had written the main theme, I wouldn't say it evolved too much, because again, the way that they like to work is they spend quite a bit of time on just making sure that the main theme is exactly what we want for the game and has a full palette of sounds that we can then draw from later on. And plus, I mean, this came together in about 6 months, so there's not a lot of space for too much evolution. But beyond that, it wasn't. It was pretty much from the start, we had all of that. What's funny to me is that, you know, in hindsight, yeah, it seems very obvious once you hear the main theme that, like, okay, yeah, this is how the action cues are probably going to sound, and this is how the tension cues and whatnot. But at the time, you know, writing that very first action cue after writing the main theme was one of the hardest things I'd ever done in music composition, was just to figure out, how are we going to do this? You know, how are we going to score a game that, you know, on the surface is still a game. So you have to have, you know, pulse pounding action music, but beneath that, it has to have a lot of sort of very focused respect, you know, for the setting. I mean, you look at something like Saving Private Ryan. Well, there's no action music in Saving Private Ryan. they, you know, John Williams completely avoided that because he wanted the visceral nature of the sound design. He wanted it to be very realistic. So it was a pretty big challenge of, like, well, how do you, you know, make this actually work and still, you know, function as a game score? That said, yeah, there was quite a bit of difference between the music I used to pitch for the game and what we ended up writing. To be perfectly honest, the music that I used to pitch for the game wasn't even really a spec demo. I just sent some of the Star Wars First Assault score.
Oh.
That was a soundtrack to a game that unfortunately never came out, but it was a first-person shooter that I scored back at LucasArts. It had a similar idea of like, okay, we're not talking about big, epic, you know, it's not about Jedi versus Sith, but instead this was a game that was all foot soldiers. It was all kind of boots on the ground, stormtroopers versus rebels. It was a game of like, okay, well, how do I paint a more realistic Star Wars? And how do I get into the emotion of like what it's like to be a soldier on either side, where neither side is really the good guys, the bad guys or whatever, but they're just fighting for what they believe in. And a lot of that sort of mentality in some way did actually make its way into the Call of Duty score, but sonically it sounds completely there's almost no connection whatsoever. But that is kind of, I guess, if you wanted to say some kind of an evolution, I guess that's probably what it would have been.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure in the early days when you're talking with the devs, you kind of don't even know what you're really looking for right off the bat. I think sometimes there is a way of, you know, getting to that point really quickly, and it sounds like you guys did. But yeah, sometimes it takes a while, and there's a lot of experimentation that goes on, and so. But yeah, it sounds like you guys were pretty much on the same wavelength right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, it still had a lot of experimentation, especially to get the main theme. There was a lot of exploration, sort of like little sketches that I sent to the team, and it was like, well, how do you feel about this? And like, what if you take this and then some elements of this and whatnot? So it definitely took some doing to figure out the sound of the game. It wasn't really automatic. And honestly, I don't mean this to like, you know, toot my own horn or whatever, but I can't really think of any other scores that sound too much like it, which isn't even necessarily a positive thing. It's more just like, you know, we didn't have the luxury of any kind of temp tracks or reference music. There actually was none for this project. Instead, it was just, you know, let's see bit by bit what elements will work and what doesn't work. And we kind of assemble the score based on that.
Wow. Did you write to picture for the cutscenes, or were they kind of like the process that you described with that opening kind of cinematic, where you had a theme and you had given them some music and they decided where it should go?
Apparently there's, I mean, I'm not sure exactly how accurate this is, but I have glanced at YouTube and seen a video called like Call of Duty World War II all cutscenes movie 2 hours, which is insane.
I've seen that too. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. It can't be 2 hours. That's absurd. But yeah, there were, I think, 4 or 5 cutscenes that I specifically scored to picture, and then all of the other ones, the other like hour and 50 minutes worth. But like all of the other ones, they were just edited by the Sony team. And this is great because, you know, it freed me up to focus on the composition. Again, we're on this crazy deadline. And I wrote some pieces that were intended as like cutscene fodder, so that they could pull from that, or like pull from other pieces that I'd written, or like faction suites and whatnot. But yeah, for the most part, it was the Sony team working their magic in order to kind of make these cutscenes happen. Like the way it works, actually, if you're curious, is we don't really record music all in one go like you might typically do in a game score, but instead we do what's called striping, which is where instead of the whole orchestra playing at once, we would actually just record the strings separately from the brass, and then even beyond that, we would record the low strings separately from the high strings, and even sometimes even more granular if there was like a melody that we wanted to get isolated on its own. And this just let the Sony team have a lot more freedom in how they were editing.
You know, you mentioned early on that one of your goals had been to write music for a World War II game, and I would love to know why that is.
Well, I mean, this is all about, you know, me back in, if you can imagine me back in college, you know, like I had spent all of my high school years falling in love with classic Japanese video game music. in like the PlayStation 1 era. So it was all about, you know, Final Fantasy and Vagrant Story and Chrono Trigger and all Xenogears, all those kinds of scores. But then the PlayStation 2 happened right about when I went off to college. And suddenly we're getting games like Call of Duty that have full-on orchestral scores, like live recorded, you know, the best possible quality. I believe the first one was recorded with the, like, in Los Angeles, the Hollywood players.
Oh yeah.
So it's basically as good as it gets. And of course, Michael Giacchino is, you know, one of my musical heroes. And that was my first experience with that. And I mean, ever since, you know, I'd played those games, I was just like, okay, yes, I want to do orchestral music now. I was writing all kinds of stuff before, but that's sort of what solidified my move from kind of more, I hate to use the term, but more like gamey type music, if that makes any sense, mm-hmm. to more cinematic kind of scoring. And yeah, I mean, like all throughout college, I was studying those kinds of scores along with, like, you know, the more typical 20th century contemporary art music scores. You know, I was looking at a lot of Stravinsky and Schoenberg were probably my two favorites, but all the while, I was just doing a lot of sketching of, and this is kind of really silly, like I would sketch so many pieces that were almost like, hey, if at some point in the future I get to do a World War II game, this is what the theme would be. This is what an action cue would be. This is what, and it was silly,
wow.
But like I can't even tell you how many, you know, paper sketches I have of music that's like in that vibe.
Wow.
Just all over, you know, for years and years. I mean, all up until and including while I was at LucasArts. And so, I mean, as you can imagine, when I actually got this gig, it was kind of extra intimidating to be like, okay, so here's your shot. I hope you don't screw it up. And let's go.
We're going to make your dream come true right now.
Yeah, so I hope you're prepared because here it is.
Well, it's such a great continuation of this incredible tradition, not just with films, but with games set in World War II. And, Will, it's just been so much fun to really dig in and look under the hood and see how you put this amazing soundtrack together. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.